Hey, it's Holden Kushner. It's the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network. Talk some Broncos today. Futures odds on Bet Rivers. Plus, who's the big free agent priorities to bring back here to the Broncos? And also talk about some defensive coordinator talk. NBA All-Star Game this weekend. NBA players sitting out. There was a lot of talk about that. There was a lot of talk about hurt feelings as well in the NBA. We'll get into that. And the Avalanche. Oh, boy. Avalanche with a tremendous win yesterday. Let's get into the Front Range Four, the four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. And we start with the Broncos futures before we get into the free agency talk. So Broncos right now have dropped to plus 3,000 to win the Super Bowl. So right after Sean Payton was named, everything gets different. They're plus 4,000. They go to 25-1. So 4,000 is 40-1. 25-1, and now they take a step back at 30-1, plus 3,000. Some of the teams behind them, the Packers, the Rams, that's a little surprising too, especially with Matt Stafford coming back. That actually might be a nice little play here going forward. The Vikings are behind them, interesting, Patriots, Bears. So you're sitting here at 30-1, 1, 2, 3, so that's 11 teams. They got the 12th best odds to win the Super Bowl. Although the Chiefs at 6-1, Bills 7.5-1, Niners and Eagles 8-1, and Bengals 9-1. Those are the favorites in the Super Bowl market. If you're just looking now at the AFC Championship, Broncos at 16-1, with the Chiefs at 3-1, Bills plus 375. And in the MVP market, I mean, you might laugh. I'll just bring it up. Russell Wilson 25-1 to win the MVP. There are quite a few ahead of him. He would be 12th in that MVP race, which is interesting, though, right? I mean, he was so bad last year to even consider him being 12th ahead of guys like Kirk Cousins. I mean, that's not a great name either. But Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, there's just a lot of Nick Cooper Kupp. Quarterbacks usually win the MVP, and Russell Wilson is 12th in that market right now. Let's get into the free agents, though. I think this is big. The big free agent signing is Sean Payton. It's 100% the biggest impact that they're going to have this offseason. There's no signing that could be bigger. No draft pick, especially since they only got a third rounder to start things off. No draft picks that's going to be more important than that. But I think the number one free agent player that they've got to bring back, and I can't be the only one thinking this, Alex Singleton. He's just a tackle machine. He led the Broncos with 163 tackles. If I'm right, that's fifth most in the NFL. He's just Mr. Fundamental. He's Mr. Fundamentals. He can play special teams. He's going to cost you, what, $6-7, maybe $7.5 million per year. Alex Singleton has to come back for the Broncos. It's just too much value on too good of a player and too stable of a player. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Who's the second guy they need to bring back? Is it Draymond? Is it Deshaun Williams? Well, I'm going to go Draymond Jones. Let's start on one side of the defensive end tree. He made himself a really good 3-4 defensive lineman, okay? And last season, finally becoming a full-time starter, how about 6.5 sacks? So this is big. If they can keep Jones, they're going to have a good defensive line just to start things off. But the Broncos are also going to need to add another defensive end to the mix. And that's where we talk about Deshaun Williams in a second. But there's a lot of defensive line free agents this offseason. He's due almost $20 million on a franchise tag. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to bring Draymond back, but behind Singleton, that would be a number two guy. Now, if Draymond doesn't come back, then we look at Deshaun Williams. And he's coming off his best season, 4.5 sacks, 15 games started, led the Broncos. Then there's Deshaun Williams, who is on the other side. And I think if you can't get Draymond Jones back here, then you get Deshaun Williams back here. I will say this, though. He'd also be a depth option on a few good defenses around the league. So it makes it more important to bring back Draymond Jones. Now, you're not going to like the next name I bring up. I do think it would be a good idea to bring back Dalton Risner at that left guard spot. Lots of holes on a bad offensive line. So Risner, Billy Turner, Cam Fleming, all set to hit free agency. I think Risner's the only one of the three that makes sense to bring back. Glasgow's probably going to be gone. Bowles is coming off a massive injury. So I'd try to bring back Risner. Good run blocker, reliable player, 93% career pass block win rate. So that's pretty darn good too. And again, with Bowles coming back from that big fracture, I think Risner's a guy you got to bring back. League average, he's league average. As much as you want to say he's awful, he is a league average left guard. And he's gone if another team gives him a long-term deal. Bowles and Miners would be the two offensive linemen coming back if Risner's not here. And that's just a lot of rebuilding on the offensive line, which needs a lot of rebuilding. But with the cap and the lack of draft picks, it's going to be tough to rebuild this offensive line on the fly. And then last but not least, it's got to be Latavius Murray. You're not spending a ton of money to bring Latavius back. In running back years, he's ancient. Anytime you get past 30, you're an old guy, but he still has what it takes. And he's familiar with Sean Payton. Javonte, in all likelihood, is not going to be an impact running back, at least the first half of the season, coming back from a catastrophic knee injury. If he's even right at all next season, you got to bring in Latavius. You got to get yourself a rookie, and then you wait it out and wait for Javonte to come back healthy. Now, that was number one on the front range four. Here's number two on the front range four, and that's the defensive coordinator. I honestly don't care who it is because I have put my faith in Sean Payton. My only requirement is that it's not a first-time defensive coordinator. I think this team needs somebody that has been there, that has done that. And the two big names right now, Rex Ryan and Vance Joseph. We all know Vance. He had an 8-hour interview with the Broncos. 8 hours. I don't think I've ever sat down and talked to anyone for 8 hours. Even on a great date, 8 hours of talking? What do you talk about for 8 hours with anybody? There's literally nobody I could think of throughout my 48 years on Earth. I mean, we'll take out the first three or four because I couldn't carry a great conversation back then. There's nobody on earth that I can think about talking 8 hours of shop with. But I don't care that Vance failed as a Cardinals defensive coordinator. As a matter of fact, it probably wasn't very much on him. They did give up the second most points per game last season, but that defense was devoid of talent. I mean, J.J. Watt was their best defender. They were devoid of talent. They were devoid of talent on the coaching staff. Their front office was blown up during the middle of the season. They have one of the worst owners in the National Football League. I mean, yeah, things have been bad here for 7 years, but Michael Bidwell, they got so lucky that Kurt Warner was picked up off the scrap heap and had a couple of great years. They got to the Super Bowl one time by getting lucky with Kurt Warner, and since then, they've just been garbage. You know, once in a while, they make the playoffs, get booted as a wild card, but I'm fine with Vance. And then there's Rex Ryan. Why did they only put him up at the Hilton in Centennial? You couldn't find a nicer hotel. I mean, put him out a little bit. Court this guy. Put him up at a nice hotel. The Hilton's fine. I don't want to take too many shots at it, but come on. We could do better than that, can't we? Anyways, Rex Ryan, 5,280 feet. We're also that high in the air. He's had success as a defensive coordinator. He had success as the Jets head coach. He got that team to the AFC championship game a couple of times with Mark Sanchez as the quarterback because that defense was so darn good. Now I'm hearing all this, oh, Rex Ryan just shows up and he leaves. That's BS. Sean Payton is not considering Rex Ryan if Rex Ryan is a guy that isn't dedicated to his craft. So I don't want to hear about that. To me, Rex Ryan, Vance Joseph, that would be the way to go. Even if it's a first-time head coach, you got to trust in Sean Payton, but I would just prefer that the guy quite a bit of experience. That's number two on the front range four. Let's get into number three on the front range four, the four biggest sports stories on the front range. Got to talk about the NBA All-Star game. I will start with the Nuggets, though. Interesting moves this morning. Interesting moves because Russell just signed with the LA Clippers. This moves the Clippers from plus 475 down to 450. It really should not affect the odds that much. As of now, in my eyes, it is a two-team race. It's the Suns at 2-1 and the Nuggets plus 275 on Bet Rivers. The Nuggets were the favorites. Suns get KD. Suns are the favorites now. Clippers, Kawhi is a playoff monster. Paul George is having a really good year, an all-star. How does Russell Westbrook fit into this team, though? I mean, in all honesty, if you're a Nuggets fan, would you rather have Reggie Jackson or Russell Westbrook? I don't know if Russell Westbrook can help the other guys on the floor. I mean, at least Reggie Jackson could facilitate. I don't see that with Russell Westbrook. I'm a big Westbrook fan, and I thought he was great in his prime, and I think he will be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done, the triple-double machine, but this doesn't move the needle for me too much with the Clippers. And yeah, the Warriors at 7-1. Charles Barkley's ripping Draymond Green's team. Again, the Warriors are going to have to get super healthy. Curry doesn't look healthy. I'm not on the Warriors either. This is not the same Warriors team. To me, it's a two-team race. Suns, Nuggets. Hey, if the Clippers or the Warriors get hot in the playoffs, so be it. Memphis is not in my mix. Dallas is not in my mix. The Lakers definitely not in the mix either. They can make some noise with AD and LeBron, but I don't think that team's going too far either. So that's the Western Conference. As far as the whole championship goes, the Nuggets fourth. So it goes Celtics plus 340, Suns 450, Bucks 5-1, Nuggets 6-1. And then behind them are the Sixers from 10-1. So if you just look at the numbers right now, it's a four-team race. It's the Celtics and the Bucks in the East, and it's the Suns and the Nuggets in the West. And as far as the MVP race goes, last week I talked about this, the straw poll from ESPN. They just have so much influence on so many different things, and they're smart. They went out, they did a poll, they talked to the beat writers, who's your MVP? 77 out of 100 said it is Nikola Jokic. So again, last Thursday, it opened at minus 177, an unbettable number. Straw poll comes out, goes to minus 250. Jokic going to be the MVP. Once again, thank God. We love this. Nuggets are in a good spot, too. They really do need home court advantage. You bring a team up here for four games. Hopefully they're gassed by, you know, the seventh game of the series. But this team is just so amazing at home. They play the best basketball at home in the NBA. They've got a 9.5-game lead on the Suns in the West. And I think the only team in the West that could take the Nuggets down in a 7-game series is the Suns. They're not giving up a 9.5-game lead if guys are healthy. Now, speaking of health, I'm a little bit worried about Jamal Murray. He's got that non-surgically repaired knee where he's probably been overcompensating. Not a doctor, but a guy that has had leg surgery in the past. You end up overcompensating on the other knee. It's a little bit cranky. He missed a few games leading up to the All-Star break. If he isn't back this week, then something serious might be going on, and that scares the hell out of me. So I've been holding my breath. Hopefully Jamal comes back and everything's good because they do not make a deep run without him. Now, that was 3A on the front range floor. 3B has got to be the NBA All-Star game. So the dunk contest, every few years, somebody has a nice dunk and the dunk contest is saved. Ultimately, that All-Star Saturday, that the legacy event is the three-point contest. And I thought Damian Lillard said it the best after winning. He said all the greats in the game have a three-point contest championship trophy. And he won it. Good for Dame. I'm a big Dame fan. But there were some things around this. Around the All-Star game that were big topics of conversation from player press conferences. But as far as the slam dunk contest, whatever. Last 15 years I've watched on YouTube, or last 10 years I would say I've watched on YouTube. Haven't watched one live. Mac McClung, congratulations. He's not saving the dunk contest. Most people had no idea who any of these guys were, and they had to call up a guy from the G League to make it relevant, I would say. But then there were a couple of players that were at the mic talking about guys sitting and how it's not fair to the fans. Kevin Durant can't believe the All-Star game draft was changed to avoid hurting guys' feelings. Let's just start with Ann Edwards. I don't think this is changing. I think we're just going to complain about it every single year. But even Ant Edwards, if you saw him in the Adam Sandler movie, or, you know, one of the best young players in the game, came out of UNLV, number one pick. He's with Minnesota. He's sick of guys sitting. It's just not fair. It's just not fair to the fans. And it's not fair to the fans. And maybe in 10 years when he's older, he'll do this load management thing. And I don't think that there's a way in the next collective bargaining agreement to make it so guys just aren't sitting out. But again, you're a Nuggets fan. You better check the schedule for teams coming in on the back end of a back-to-back. Because in all likelihood, those guys aren't playing. Now, Kevin Durant, on the other hand, he said he can't believe the All-Star Game draft was changed to avoid hurting feelings, to which I say the same thing. Adam Silver goes out and he says, we're not going to have a last pick anymore. We're going to do the reserves first. Well, what do you think the last reserve is thinking? He knows he's the last guy that got picked anyways. It's Triple J. I thought it'd be him or Halliburton. It was Triple J. Triple J was the last guy taken. He was the last reserve taken. Then they go to the starters, and now you're pissing off the last starter because Lauri Markkanen, in his hometown now, he was a Bull, now he's a Jazz player. Lauri Markkanen sitting up there as the last starter going, oh, they don't want to pick me. So now you piss two guys off. They probably didn't get their feelings hurt. Just like nobody had their feelings hurt in the past when they were the last guy picked. You're one of the top 30 players in the league. You're one of the top 30 players in the world. And Durant said that too. NBA, it really is a mess. And I understand why a lot of people don't watch until the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, you're not doing load management. You're not doing load management. And I know this, that a lot of people, a lot of you sit at home and you watch these players force their way out of a situation like Durant, like Kyrie, and the players have too much power. Well, when you're as great as they are, they're going to have the power. But that collective bargaining agreement coming up after next season, I wonder how much change we'll see in that department. All right, that was number three on the Front Range Four. Let's get into four on the Front Range Four. Four biggest stories on the Front Range, the Avs. Wow. What a win yesterday. Before I get to the win, though, they are still the second favorite to win the cup. Remember, overwhelming favorites heading into the year. Boston now at 5-1. Avs, if this is a good number to back the Avs at. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. 6-1, Landeskog's going to come back. They're extremely talented. They get to the playoffs. They're going to do a ton of damage again. And at plus 225 to win the West, I love that bet too. I recommend both of them. If you haven't already invested, because it's not going any lower now, you're not getting a better number. They're getting healthy. Hopefully Makar's back sooner than later. They're getting healthy. They did upgrade the goalie spot. McKinnon's on a tear. Yeah, get ready. The Avs are about to go on a big, big run. I'll talk with Ian St. Clair about that from Play Colorado, playcolorado.com here in just a couple of minutes. But I don't know if you saw yesterday's game. I went back. I watched the highlights. I was working. But on the second half of a back-to-back, they fall down at home 3-0 to the Oilers, a team they bounced in the playoffs last year. They got a couple of goals. Now they're at 4-3. They're down 4-3. They're down 5-3, and Nathan MacKinnon went bananas. Two goals, JT Compher, 4 points, and then Mikko the Freako Rantanen, 22 seconds left in overtime. Deeks left, scores the game winner. Get in on these Avs futures. Do it now, folks. Got to talk injuries real quick. Cale Makar, Jared Bednar said Makar does not have a head injury at this time. We'll see. I mean, he's been out since that St. Louis game. Eric Johnson's out for weeks still. Landeskog back around the team yesterday. He's going to skate. Gabriel Landeskog, the captain, on his way back. Franzos is still out 3 or so weeks, so you've got Gorgiev having to take on extra work, and Darren Helm has been skating, but we don't really have an ETA for him. But get in on those Avs futures, folks. Talk more about the Avs, talk about the Broncos' defensive coordinator position next with our guy, Ian St. Clair, Play Colorado, playcolorado.com. Also, got to talk about Greyhound racing with him. I'm not kidding. Here he is, Ian St. Clair, Play Colorado, playcolorado.com, Mile High Report. But the Avalanche is what we're talking about. And you can't see Ian, but he's got his Avs hoodie on. I've just got a classic old hoodie, which is very comfortable, but overly priced. I'm sure yours was overly priced, unless you got it at like King Supers or something. But
Christmas talk to present.
Me. Oh, okay. Talk to me. What a signature win yesterday. I mean, you're down 3-0. They're down, what, 4-3, 5-3. What an amazing win yesterday. What does that tell you about this team?
I think they're getting their mojo back. And I think it shows to the rest of the NHL that, A, defending champs, and they still don't have Gabe Landeskog, who should skate on Monday for the first time. And if you heard Leah Hextall on the broadcast yesterday, she said they're hopeful that he's going to be able to come back sooner than later. So I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I would hope that it's before the playoffs so that he can get back into game shape, since he hasn't played for pretty close to a year since the last time he was on the ice. They won game 6 in Tampa. So that would be good to get him onto the ice, hopefully with his new center, which will not be Jonathan Toews, since he announced to the NHL that he's not going to be traded yesterday. He put that statement out with the Blackhawks. So sad tear. Ryan O'Reilly went to Toronto. But anyway, signature win. I think this is going to be what catapults them to go on a run. And they have been playing incredible hockey since the All-Star break, actually since the start of the year. They have one regulation loss since the All-Star break, and a blowout loss to Tampa.
Well, I mentioned this, like, this is not going to be the last time you get in, but it's one of the last times you're going to get in on them 6-1 to win the cup. It's they're still the favorite to win the West, but plus 225. Like, how much better are these numbers getting? I just don't see it happening. A, with the way they're playing, and B, with the reinforcements on their way back. So this has got to be it, right? Like, the next week or two, if you don't get in this free futures market, I don't think you're getting in at a good price.
And I think you still have positive money for them to win the division. The last I looked, they were still positive money. It's not going to be as much for the West, but it's relatively close, because Dallas is still the favorite. But I've told you this. I told you this last week. They have 2 games in hand on Dallas, and they're now only 5 points behind Dallas for the Central Division lead, and 2 points behind Winnipeg with a game in hand on Winnipeg. So the Central Division and the number one seed in the West, looking at what's going on in the Pacific in Vegas without Mark Stone, the Avs have the ability to become the number one seed in the West. They're not going to catch Boston for the President's Trophy, but who cares about that? They didn't win it last year either. I just, you have positive money now to win the division. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Oh my God. I got to tell you something. I didn't even think about winning the division, right? Thinking about winning the division. I'm just thinking about the conference. I got such higher hopes, and I know you do too, but plus 165 to win the division. You're throwing more bets out there. I'm feeling good about our 8-1 though. 6-1, 8-1. We're sitting on a lot of future. So
yeah. And I have multiple on that too. Yeah.
As far as the Norris Trophy, the Makar injury is probably going to count him out of this, right? Isn't Carlson going to run away with it?
I think the way Carlson is playing, I mean, he has, what, close to 75 points already? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, the thing that you might hold against him is how bad the San Jose Sharks are. So, literally, he's the only person who's doing anything for that team. But I think they'll give it to him, because he won it before, and he's having a remarkable season. And Cale Makar, as good as he's been, he's been hurt, and he hasn't been on the ice as much as he needs to be.
Let's talk about the Broncos here for a minute. Does it matter to you who they hire as defensive coordinator? Is all your faith in Sean Payton? Is there a guy that stands out?
I want them to hire Rex Ryan. And the approach that he's taken, it's no small feat to hire this defensive coordinator. And he's taking a game of inches, not feet, and hiring his defensive coordinator.
I got what you just did, buddy.
I don't know how many more of these I can go with.
Well, I mean, he's only coming here because there's 5,280 feet.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll be in heaven. I want it to be Rex Ryan. I think if you look at his history as a defensive guy, he was on that staff in Baltimore where they had that insane defense. He was a defensive coordinator for them and then became the head coach for the Jets, and they still had great defenses. I think he's the guy, and I don't want Vance Joseph. He's not a good coach. He has not been good anywhere he's been. And take aside the fact that when he was here, it was a disaster. No, I don't want him. Bring in Rex Ryan. He knows defense. He knows how to coach. And if the NFL does not put the Broncos on Hard Knocks when that happens, they're making a mistake.
Yeah, but you don't want him on Hard Knocks, dude.
Yeah, I do. Sean Payton and Rex Ryan.
No, it's a mess. These teams never do well on Hard Knocks.
I think that would be must-see TV. Sean Payton and Rex Ryan.
I mean, that's a horrible idea, Ian.
It's been 7 years. I mean, really? How much worse is it going to get?
It can get a lot worse. You got a brand new head. Hold on. First of all, if you have a brand new head coach, don't they kind of count you out of it?
They might. So
no, I do. You got to be kidding me, man. You do not want the Broncos on Hard Knocks unless you think they're going to stink anyways.
No, I don't buy into that stuff. Like the whole Madden curse, the Wheaties curse from like 25 years ago. Like, I don't buy into that stuff. What's going to happen is going to, I mean, I want the Broncos to bring back the D. I want them to bring back the Snot Rocket logo, and I want them to go back to the Royal Blue.
Uh-huh.
You can keep the orange, and then you can do the modern up. You don't have to go completely back to the way it was before Pat Bowlen ruined it with making them look like the Bears. But the one thing that fans say to me, and it's completely asinine, is, well, they didn't win a Super Bowl in this uniform. The uniform has nothing to do with how they performed in those four Super Bowls. Nothing. Get over it. Move on. Has nothing to do with it. It's a better logo. I don't want them to look like the Bears anymore.
No, Snot Rocket is awesome. Totally awesome. 100% awesome. I'm a big fan of the Snot Rocket.
Yeah, bring it back.
How can you not be?
But I bring back Rex Ryan. Bring back the D. Then you have that old school defense. And for all those who say that he's been out of the league for 7 years or whatever it is, he's been watching tape. To be an analyst, you have to be able to look through and watch it and know what they're doing. And the story I wrote for Mile High Report on Sunday, the one question I hope Sean Payton is asking is, how are you going to slow down Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes?
You're not. You're just going to have to outscore them.
Well, there's a way to do it. I mean, Vic Fangio did it. He limited them to about 20 to 23 points when he was the coach here. So there's a way to do it. The reason the Broncos didn't beat the Chiefs is because they didn't outscore them. So that's where Sean Payton comes in.
Wasn't that one of Fangio's last games where he had him set up to finally win? I think it was in Kansas City, wasn't it? And they called some cockamamie play like deep inside the red zone. And it just, that was the one shot they had of beating the Chiefs over the last 7 years.
Well, that was the Melvin Gordon fumble.
There you go. Arr.
It was the last game of the season.
Yeah, not a good one. Not a good one.
Melvin Gordon fumbled.
Yeah, now he's got a ring with the Chiefs.
Oh, and by the way, can we stop talking to Melvin Gordon? Like, can we, I mean, talk about a guy who has no ability to look at himself in the mirror and say he's the problem.
He did say he was the problem. He did say he screwed up and he didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah, well, aside from the fact of pointing the blame and saying he never got a shot here.
Yeah, that's
like,
silly.
Like, really? Like, dude, you're the reason why they lost to the Raiders when Javonte Williams got hurt. Like, you were literally the reason they lost that game. Go take a sit on the bench and get a ring for being on the practice squad and be content with that.
Speaking of which, let's talk some free agents here for a minute, because I want Latavius back. I don't think it's like the biggest priority, but talk to me about the free agents that you want to see back here. And I'm just going to throw some guys out. Alex Singleton's got to be back, right? Draymond, Deshaun Williams, Reisner, anybody in the offensive line. Give me two or three guys that have to come back besides for Singleton.
I would say nobody on the offensive line. And I'm looking to trade Garrett Bowles. I'm actually looking to pair Justin Simmons and Garrett Bowles together so that I can get a first round pick or multiple picks. So no one on this roster is safe, in my opinion, unless you're Pat Surtain and Jerry Jeudy. and potentially Tim Patrick, because I've told you, I think the loss of Tim Patrick was monstrous to this team and this offense last year. So I'm looking to pair Justin Simmons and Garrett Bowles to see what I can get. If I can get a first round pick, I do it. I look at Mike McGlinchey from the San Francisco 49ers to potentially be the right tackle if he's not tagged. I'm looking at Dallas. I think Tony Pollard and Sean Payton's offense could be Alvin Kamara in this offense, but I think the Cowboys are going to tag Tony Pollard. So we'll see something to keep an eye on. If Tony Pollard is not tagged in Dallas, I think Sean Payton and the Broncos should go after him in a heartbeat. Defensively, I think it depends. If it's Rex Ryan, you're finally going to have a focus on middle linebackers. So I don't know if I haven't looked to see what's out there in terms of middle linebackers, but Alex Singleton is fine. He's a guy. I would see if there's a way to upgrade that position, especially if Rex Ryan is coming in here. Maybe safety, depending on what you do with Justin Simmons. And I think you're set defensively. I think you need some more depth on the interior part of the defensive line. I think some potential linebackers. Depth at cornerback is always something that teams are looking at. So that's a possibility to go. I think offensively they're fine. They just need to get the offensive line figured out.
I like the breakdown right there. Last thing to talk about, I'm in the massive minority when it comes to bettors. Horse racing, outlaw it. Greyhound racing, outlaw it. There's actually they're going to ban simulcasting greyhound racing here. Is that it? I mean, they just treat these animals like garbage. In all seriousness, the horses go to the glue factory. The greyhound dogs, they try and adopt them. These poor things are just completely manhandled and destroyed. I don't want to hear. What's your take? What's going on here with greyhound racing?
I think there needs to be a national ban on greyhound racing.
Yep.
I think it stop taking it and putting it in the hands of states. Take it to a federal level and ban it at a national and federal level. I'm not as hardcore on the horse racing, but I could see an argument for it. I covered the rodeo for a number of years up in Cheyenne, covering Cheyenne Frontier Days, and I have seen how well the animals are treated there. But I also get the argument that people don't like it, like it's not what they're meant to do. Mm-mm. So I it's a debate to be had, but I do think there needs to be a federal ban on greyhound racing.
Join the club. Plug everything you're doing, my friend. And as always, thanks for the time.
Of course. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Ian St. Clair. You can check it out, playcolorado.com. We have all the latest on casinos, sports betting, the online casino push. I'm still going to be looking at the state legislature for that. Got a surprise bill, by the way, for online casinos in Illinois. Ooh. So that could be a possibility. And Senator Joe Adibo in New York filed his online casino bill in New York. Mm-hmm. And if online casinos come in New York, holy smokes. But you can also follow me on My High Report.
How long till it's here?
I think it's going to be a couple of years. I don't think there's going to be any states that will legalize it this year. I think in New York specifically, they're going to focus on the downstate casinos. There's three potential licenses. You could potentially see a casino in Times Square. That would be fascinating.
Oh my God.
But I think in 2024 will be the push for online casinos in New York. I think the one state that I'm more bullish on Illinois than other people, because I don't even think we were expecting a bill to come. So there is a legitimate push in Illinois. If it's not this year, I think it'll be next year. And same for Indiana.
Ian St. Clair, check him out on Twitter. How do we check you out on Twitter again?
At Ian St. Clair.
No E.
No E.
No E. Well, thank you very much to Melissa, Terry, and Adam behind the scenes. I'm Holden Kushner. Follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio, and I'll catch you again on Thursday on the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.